Last week, we embarked on a journey. Today is part two of that. Last week, we called it Mission Vision Part One, and today is a real complicated title, Mission Vision Part Two, because we're getting ready to embark on something powerful in the Lord. I believe God wants us to be alive and well and living the fullness of our Christianity. We're not here to shove Jesus down anybody's throats, but we're also not here to apologize for loving him, believing he is the answer for life. If you agree with me, someone please say amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the answer. Mission Vision, Part 2. You know, you got in this world today utter chaos and confusion. Conservatives disagree with moderates, who all disagree with liberals, who disagree with socialists, who say everybody else is fascist. You got whites and blacks, Hispanics, Latinos, Asian descent, everybody else polarizing into separate safety cocoons and lobbing verbal bombs at everybody else, and government promises, and oh, how many know it doesn't deliver. We appreciate those who sincerely serve. It's not that. It's simply that the answer is not in the ways of man, but the answer is our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what happens today is you better treat each other perfectly. May I see the show of hands in this room of everybody who treats everybody perfectly all the time? Come on, raise your mind. What's wrong with you guys?
Oh,
my wife told me to stand in this line. She told me to raise my hand. I love it. She nudged me, fell off my chair. I love it. Because if you don't treat everybody perfectly nowadays, somebody's standing by with a smartphone, and in an instant it's on Facebook and Snapchat and whatever else chat is the latest one that I don't have a grasp on yet. And the church is being positioned as irrelevant. Part of marketing, and my major in college was broadcast management, and one of the most important classes I had in advertising, many of you have heard about it, was marketing and positioning. That's the one I'm really after, positioning. And it's all about positioning your product in such a favorable way that you get accomplished in people's minds and hearts what you want them to think about that product. May not be fully true. How many know there's sometimes not truth in advertising? May not always be true, but when you position it, it's hard to move people from the position. And look what's happening all around you today. Whether it's fake news, whether it's true, it's all about positioning and pushing people to extremes so there's fights and chaos. God is not the author of confusion, the Bible tells us, but the power and love and a sound mind. I keep saying to Dan and Roxanne, that's their verse. See, a sound mind. There they are, the sound too. But God's not the author of confusion. The devil is. The enemy is. So you've got all of this warring, and so the church is being positioned now as irrelevant. You don't have anything to say. You don't have anything worthwhile to tell us. Man has his own answers. Man's in charge of man. Man's in charge of life. Man's in charge of death. We take it whenever we want. I take my own. I take yours. It doesn't matter. It's all positioning. And the church stands and says, wait a minute. Here's the truth of the Word of God. And they go, come on, get out. You can talk about that within the confines of your four walls, but don't take it to the streets. Now, that's the law in Russia again, by the way. We have a planted church over there of wonderful nationals from Russia who've been laboring, Pastors David and Julianne Koblenz, Pastor Sherry's third daughter and her husband, planted a church there many years ago, turned it over to the nationals, and they are carrying on wonderfully, but they are laboring with a mentality in that country that you are forbidden to take your Jesus outside of your church building. And we get afraid that that's what we're supposed to do. How many know that's not true? Come on, I said, how many know that's not true? Would you turn over there and read that out loud with me, please? Thank you, Paula and Dean, for putting that up. You are now entering your mission field. when we leave this place. What do? When we gather together, we get built up and strengthened in the Word of God and in the Lord and in His presence and His purpose. And we think the way the Bible says, and we go to give Him away. Don't we? We go to give Him away. It's not just me peering out behind that wall saying, how can I keep myself alive? But it's understanding I'm not the one behind the wall. Jesus has already gotten the victory. It's me going to share Him with someone else. It's me helping somebody else find life. Church, we need revival now. The world needs the Jesus you have. We need, say it with me, please, revival now. But who is going to be ready to lead people to Jesus and get them established in His Word? Who? Come on. I said, who? Say it out. You are. You are. We take Him to the world. And now, what's happening? God is allowing shaking to take place in the church and in this earth. And the Bible declares this will happen. I'm not a doomsday prophet. That's not what I'm saying. It's just you take a look at Matthew chapter 24 and other verses of Scripture, and you understand that which can be shaken, if something is not built solid and strongly in life, that will be shaken. God is shaking the sin and sickness out of the church, helping people make sure that their foundation, please read it with me, is built strong and solid on the rock of Jesus Christ. That's nothing critical toward us or anyone if the foundation isn't right. Some people, you know, you say to them, we talked about this last week, today, what do you believe? And the answer is, I believe what the church teaches. What's the church teach? Church teaches what the pastor teaches. What's the pastor teach? I don't know. Will you just get off my case? We need to know what we believe and in whom we have believed. That's what the Bible says. We have a rock, a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. Let's pursue some thoughts this morning. The joy of the Lord is your what? Come on, turn to each other and quote that to each other, would you? The joy of the Lord is your strength. That gets quoted all the time. Nice little promise box verse. And the reality is, it is the Word of God. Look in Nehemiah, the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions for those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our God, our Lord. Say it with me, please. The last part. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy. Literally in the Hebrew, that word means the rejoicing of and in the Lord. The joy, the rejoicing of the Lord is yours. And your strength means literally a fortified place, your defense, that which gives you strength to overcome temptation and difficulty. How many know it's hard to put a joyful person down? So we need to hold on to the joy of the strength of the Lord. But, you know, if you think about it, we think that today is the worst time in all of human history. And in some ways it is. But do you know the early church had some trouble? Do you remember your history? If you recall the book of Acts, they had to scatter in the early church because horrific, fiery persecution. You go to 2 Peter and the meaning of his verse. Remember, there's a verse in there that says, I don't have it up here, but it says, don't think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is upon you. That's all about Nero and his craziness taking Christians and posting them up on, crucifying them on posts and lighting them a fire to burn in his gardens at night. And Peter's saying, don't think it strange concerning this fiery trial, because it's going to happen. But we've got a mission. We've got a job. We've got a Jesus to share with other people. And though it gets tough, and it does, we are still going to carry forward the name of Jesus. We've got courageous brothers and sisters in many countries around this planet where genocide is taking place. Look at what happened in the bombings with the Coptic Christians in Egypt just a few weeks ago. I'm grateful the Pope went there and went open and air there to support the Christians in that country. And it's happening all around the world. There's a ministry called Open Doors. I printed off a big publication from them the other day. The top 50 nations in the country where persecution against Christians is happening. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we who have it much easier in America wrestle instead with emotional issues or the sense of pressure, the sense of positioning to reduce us down out of effectiveness. Come on, you're with me? Reduce the church down out of effectiveness. That's not the purpose of God. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Judah, in the Old Testament, I just quoted the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, you have Judah and Israel turning to sin and idolatry. You remember your history where they were sent prophets over and over and over again, but they would have a small revival, but not turn fully back to the Lord. You remember Israel, the northern tribes went off into Assyria. And then what happened later to Judah? They went into captivity in Babylon. It was a terrible time for them. They were treated fairly nicely in some ways, but they were ripped from their homeland and they were gone for how many remember how long? 70 years. 70 years in Babylon. And then God restores them. Now, as told in Ezra, your Old Testament Bible, about 50,000 returned to Judah in the first year of King Cyrus. Remember, King Cyrus, 100 years before, prophesies or declares that there will be a temple rebuilt. And let the people go rebuild this temple. And 50,000 returned to Judah in the first year of Cyrus. The temple is rebuilt by this group. And Ezra then leads another 1,500 back some 80 years later. So the prophecy came out through Isaiah that there would be someone named Cyrus who would fulfill this. And that's exactly what happened, if you recall your history. Didn't mean to say it clumsily there. His spiritual leadership, Ezra's spiritual leadership, led to a real vital reform and a real commitment and a surrender to the Lord. And the people had entered into mixture, even those who had been there. He brought them the teaching of the Word of God. Now, the events recorded in Nehemiah took place 12 years later. So when you go to your Bible, you have Ezra, and 12 years later, Nehemiah takes place. He came and he was, remember, the servant, a high official in the Persian court. And he asked to be able to go because the walls were broken down in Jerusalem. And they were subject to shame and ridicule by the enemies. And they had no wall of safety, no protection, no identification. And he's burdened and he says to the king, let me go and take care of this. And he was sent and became the governor appointed to lead the people and rebuild the walls. So he serves in Jerusalem 12 years, returns home to Persia, and then he comes back a second time. Now, at this time, Jerusalem was only about 800 square miles. Guys, it was a tiny little country. Sometimes do you ever feel tiny in your own eyes? What can I accomplish? I'm just a little Christian. But how big is God inside of you? Come on, how big is the Lord inside of you? He knows what you're going through. And sometimes we feel small, but we need to remember we have a great big Jesus who lives inside if we've surrendered to him. But it was only 800 square miles, north and south. Listen, Israel at that time, Judah at that time, 25 miles, I'll get this right, north and south, about 25 miles was all, and east and west at the time of Nehemiah, about 32 miles. That's the size of that total country. They were surrounded on every side by enemies who wanted to destroy them. You remember, if you remember your history books in the Bible, when they started to build and when Nehemiah came, the enemies all around them were angry that somebody wanted to support the welfare and strengthen Judah. Do you remember? So when you start to build your foundation strong in the Lord, sometimes the enemy will try to get you off track. Sometimes the enemy will get you distracted and turned aside and say, you're not going to build anything. Come on, you've had this stuff before. You don't need to worry about foundations. Just float and go and don't worry about being a part of a church. You can do anything you want. And the enemy will deceive. And God says, no, let's get those foundations strong and solid so you can be effective warriors in spiritual warfare. How many want that? So the people of Judah were discouraged about themselves and their future. And that's about how it looked at that time. That's an artist's rendition of the restoration of Jerusalem. And the temple was up there at the top in this area. And another one. So it was a small community from what they had been. The people of Judah were discouraged about themselves and their future, but not Nehemiah. Nehemiah was bold in the Lord, and he boldly called on Judah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he says, so we will no longer be in disgrace. How many want to be the people of God, not in any disgrace, but walking in the strength of the Lord? The response of the people was immediate. They said, okay, let's build. Remember your history? How long did it take them to build the walls? And boy, the enemies were angry on every side. But they got those walls all around that place built again in 52 days. Their respect had been recovered. Their awareness of God's presence had been stirred. Their sense of surrender to the Lord had been returned as they rebuilt those walls and renewed their commitment. Judgment had fallen, but they returned to God and listened to the Word of God. Watch this. God's grace swept through a nation that had gone too far. I hope, pray, believe, teach, declare, and understand and expect that God's going to send another revival. I'm believing God for a fresh revival, a stirring to take place so people understand how much God loves them. That's why we gave you that pamphlet this morning. Give it away. So people understand that Jesus cares. And you know the old song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do you know how many people don't know that anymore? Not just the song, but the truth. We've got a mission. We've got a big job, church. But what happened is, though the country had gone too far, God brought restoration. Say it with me. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, when did it happen? After the foundation had been laid. After the temple had been restored. After the walls had been rebuilt. And that's the point. The people of God were strengthened, identified, encouraged, and built up. And that's why we take Launching Your Faith. In a couple of weeks, we're going to launch a program for foundation laying and strengthening and equipping. And maybe some of you look at me and go, you know, I've had this stuff before. It's okay. I've had it a whole bunch. I've been walking with the Lord about 45 years. You go, man, you are an old bugger. No, you can't revisit those foundations strong enough if you want to be effective in both your relationship personally with the Lord and in helping other people who need Him. Living Faith Fellowship is where we began some of these teachings back about 45, 50 years ago, and we have seen people go around the world to strengthen the body of Christ. Now, these teachings are biblical. We've taught them here, but people, they will leave. When you understand what you believe, you can go to another place and people become elders and leaders in churches immediately because you simply know what you believe. It's worth it. Amen? It's worth it. God is good. So that's why we're going to sail into Launching Your Faith. Launching Your Faith releases the joy of knowing that your foundation in the Lord is strong and well. All right. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Number two, to know Him and grow in Him. Why do we do this? What do we want to do? We want to know Him and grow in Him. Can you know the Lord better?
Yes.
Would you like to?
Yes.
Amen. Raise your hand. Say, I swear.
I swear.
No, I'm kidding. How many want to be like this guy? Been walking with the Lord a few years himself, right? Amen. I want to know Him. I want to grow in Him. I want to be stronger and more of what He wants me to be. And how many understand God wants to be known? The Lord doesn't hide from us. The Lord wants us to know Him. And especially how we know Him is in and through the Word of God. That's how we discover who He is. That's where He's discovered. We know Him intimately in our hearts. And you go, okay, well, what's all that about? Take a look at the Scripture. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. But you must continue in the things which you have learned, Paul speaking to Timothy, and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Watch, please read with me now. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. One of the greatest things, or one of the tragic things that's happened in our country, is very few people understand the foundations of the Scriptures, and they don't spend time in the Scriptures. Bible stories are lost. People don't. We used to have a frame of reference of the Word of God in our country. We've kicked the Bible out of our schools. We've kicked the Bible out of our society. And people don't even know. We know people don't even know the story of Jonah and the whale and David and Goliath. And it's all strange stuff. But we need to understand that the Word of God is the foundation, not only for a successful life, but also for a successful nation. Amen? The Word of God. And he says that will keep you strong and wise through faith in your salvation in the Lord. Watch this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And somebody stops and says, okay, how come you're not perfect then, Kevin? Well, I'm still growing. I sing the old little country song from way back when. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It's true. But what do? We walk as best we can by His grace, as best we can in understanding His Word. If you want to know, how can I get closer to Him? Go to the Word of God. Go to the Bible. Spend time in prayer. Hang out with God's people and let Him put strong foundations under you. What does that say in the NIV? All Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. You go to the Word of God and it's like a mirror. You hold it up and go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Anybody feel that when you read through Proverbs? Every single verse is like there's a good and there's the bad, and I feel like the ugly. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's a good thing. That's graciousness. That's not condemnation. That's going, oh, thank you, Lord. I understand that better. I see that better. If you don't have a version of the Bible that you understand, we've got versions right here. We've got New Testament and New Living. We'd be happy to give you this morning. See Pastor Sherry. And we want you to have the Word of God. And as you do, you read that and go, oh, I get that. Oh, I see that. Okay, Lord, help me keep growing in You. All Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. No matter what the occupation, how many know you had tools for the job? How many did auto mechanics or mechanics in one way or another? That's your career. That's your career or was your career. Can you do that job without the right tools? Well, you can tweak as much as you want. You can gum it to death, but you got to have the right tools, right? How many carpenters in the room? Contractors? No? No? Okay. How many teachers? Okay. Some teachers. How many? Whatever else you were, you had tools for the job. How many know what this is? Anybody ever seen anything like that before? It's a super key. It's a phone. No, I'm kidding. It's not a phone. I'm a real estate broker. I have my own real estate company. And as a realtor, as a licensed, ordained, anointed realtor, as a licensed broker, I had to qualify. I had to get approval, pass licensure, had to pay, had to be approved and sign on the dotted line and pay. And I got one of these. And I go, is that all there is? No, I got one of these. I'm the only one who can use this. Dean, my buddy, works with me, and I'm not even supposed to give it to Dean to use. That's against ethics, against rules. I could lose my license, get kicked out of the Northwest Multiple Listing Service for that. It's in my hand. Right? Isn't that right, Dino? So what does this mean? I got tools I got to use for the job. So if somebody's coming from California, they're flying in, or even from Seattle, or guess what? Even from Port Townsend or Chimicum, they say, I'll meet you there, got an appointment, got this house. This is what lets me electronically get into the key box, get the key, access, open the place and show it. Guess what happens if I forget my key? They get mad? Let's hear it. They get mad? What else?
They're not getting in.
They're not getting in. And I'm not getting a sale. And they look at me and they go, you know what? You're really a doofus. Listen, the right tool enables me to have a key to unlock a door to let someone else in. As Christians, we have the right tools, the Word of God. We have prayer and understanding and walking with the Lord and surrendering personally to Him. And we have each other to help us, the right tools to help us in the job. And if my tools are missing or I've let them go, I don't use them, I put them away, I can't find them, I'm not going to be very effective at opening doors for somebody else to grow in the Lord. Does that make sense to you? So we want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the King James, that word is perfect, being made perfect. Other versions say to be made complete, thoroughly furnished. Literally in the Greek means finished out, equipped fully. Knowing the Bible, hiding the Word of God in your heart, the Bible says, equips us, transforms us, being renewed, transformed by the renewing of our mind. Hey, I can tell you, when I gave my life to the Lord years ago, I didn't think like Jesus thinks. Someone say amen. Amen. How do you know? I didn't think like Jesus thinks. And I'm still being transformed to think more like Jesus thinks. And it's the Bible that shows me. So hide the Word in your heart. And be equipped if you want to know Him and grow in Him. God wants each of us to be able to help others come into Him and in His family. To be thoroughly equipped, mature, growing, completing our training so we know Him and His Word. How many, would you show me a show of hands, how many served in the military? We are so grateful for your service. How many also, go ahead and put your hands in. How many in law enforcement? All right, law enforcement. And others, I'm sure, served in official capacities. Same show of hands if this applies to you. How many went out to carry a weapon, go into the battlefield, do whatever, without training? Without equipment? No, you didn't. You were equipped. We're grateful for what you've done. But you were equipped and you had that capacity for training. That's why we do what we're doing. All right, number three. To get God's building permit. To get God's building permit. What's the scripture say? You know, if you have a piece of property and you want to build on it, you invest in your land. You prepare the soil. You contour the ground. You consider the drainage. And you get the plans, the drawings. Maybe you use an architect. And then you line up a contractor that you think you might be able to control. And then you find out you can't. But somebody who knows your heart and mind and somebody that's going to be able to accomplish what you want accomplished. And there'll be things that come up, change orders and all of that. But you can get all of it ready to go. You can do tons of stuff. Well, you used to be able to do more than you can do now. But without a permit, you're not going to be able to build. Someone say amen or oh no. How many know people build anyway? But there's a building permit that enables you to go on. What does the Bible say? Therefore, Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on. Say it with me. Let us go again. Let us go on to perfection, completion, maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, if you've got every one of those teachings down pat in your life, you understand everything there is about resurrection of the dead, you're praying for people that are raising from the dead, then you don't need any of this teaching. Nobody followed that, eh? I need the teaching still. But what does this say? We'll go on, and we need to go on, and God wants us to go on, and this we will do. Verse 3, if God permits. If God permits, out of the NIV, watch this. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. If He permits, if He allows, in the Greek that means if He allows, if He gives us liberty, when the foundation is laid, He gives us permission for further growth. I know it's by grace. There's salvation by grace, church. This doesn't change that at all. But because we've received His grace, we give ourselves to the study of the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved in the King James. That literally means exert effort, exousia, work hard, give yourself to a labor of study. What does the Bible teach? How can I grow? Growth in Jesus to be transformed, fashioned into a mature, strong, fully equipped believer, to be a victorious soldier in the army of the Lord, is not optional, but expected. Come on, say it with me. It's not optional, but expected. Come on, I just came to church for comfort. I just want to be comfortable. Me too. But the Lord says, stir up the gift of God inside. Stir up. Time for fresh growth. Time to go on. Don't you want to be more than what you are now? You know, we said it last week. S-F. What is it? S-F. S-G. Say it again. S-F-S-G. One more time. S-F-S-G. S-F-S-G. Saved for something greater. Saved for something great. Saved for something greater. To be just like Him. Just like Jesus. Talk like Him, think like Him, walk like Him, love people like Him. I got a long way to go. I believe we all do. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll see more benefits. But today, why are we going to sail into launching your faith? To be released in the joy of the Lord as your strength. To know Him and grow in Him. To get God's building permit. Now we invite you to sign up for this program. What's it going to cost you? Absolutely free. We're going to provide materials and we're going to look into the scripture and we're going to have a great time growing together in the Lord, because God wants us to be built up in Him, more like Him, so we go out these doors into the mission field sharing Jesus effectively with other people. We already put a pamphlet in your hands this morning. Read it, proclaim it, go out and share it. God loves people. Come back, sign up, get excited, learn, grow, let's launch. Launching your faith is just about to begin. Be sure to get on board. Come on, musicians, will you come up? Stand with me, would you please? We're here for you this morning. If you have a need in your body, a physical need, we'd be honored to pray for you. If you're here and you've not surrendered your life to the Lord, I urge you, this is the day. Give your life to Jesus. He's got so much to give you, so much to bless you. We're delighted that you're here with us. If you're a guest with us, we invite you back again next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night grace gathering. We talk about the scriptures and pray for each other. Father, we pray the power of your Holy Spirit will continue to encourage your people. We visually see in our mind's eyes walking with you successfully through the day by day. Father, where people in this church need to be strengthened this morning, we thank you that you've imparted your strength. Where people need healing, we thank you that you've imparted your healing power. And we pray that each one will be built up, encouraged as we go now into the mission field. We bless you, Lord, and thank you for the privilege that we've had to be together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a further need on your heart, there will be people available for prayer. Make sure you come and get one of us. Pastor Sherry and I will greet you at the door, and we are delighted that you've been with us this morning. Would you raise your hands for the blessing of the Lord? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And one more verse. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now bless your people, Lord, as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Be released in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength.